Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're reading through this little book, Beside Bethesda, by Johnny Erickson Tada. And these are her words. It's written first person, her experiences. Ken and I are well into our 60s, and up until now, we haven't talked much about dying. It was always something that we'll discuss later when we're older. That changed several years ago when I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Suddenly, the frightening prospect we never dared to broach became a looming possibility. With my fragile condition as a quadriplegic, I might not make it through chemotherapy, and the chemo might not kill all the cancer, and I might die. The thought terrified Ken. My sister, who stayed with us to help me through chemotherapy, caught him crying one day in the kitchen. He put down the sponge and dish, turned to her with wet eyes, and said, "I might lose her. I might lose my best friend." After the episode at the sink, I noticed a change. Ken and I sat outside in the backyard more often, enjoying the breeze and the birds at the feeder. We noticed small things, tiny flowers poking through the soil, the pleasant sound of water in the fountain, a little lizard scurrying by. We talked more, sharing memories of favorite vacations. We visited the beach, prayed hand in hand more frequently, read books together, discussed God, and opened the Bible together. In short, our love for each other deepened, as well as our vision of heaven. Ken and I are thankful for our scare with cancer. It awakened us to how fragile life is and how quickly it passes. King David had a similar experience. In Psalms 39, he wrote, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." Verses 4 through 5. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time on this earth. May it be to your honor and glory. I thank you for Mr. Gamblin's health returning, and I ask that you continue to work in his body. I pray for the many prayer requests that come in. Lord, you know each of our needs in our hearts. You know our longings, and I pray for that. I pray for Rhonda's grandson who has fever, and they're afraid he has meningitis. And I pray for Melissa, whose son is on drugs. And Leanna, I pray for her dad and her. Both are battling COVID, and he has pneumonia now. Dear Lord, you know our weaknesses, and help us to know how much you love us. Lord, thank you, thank you. Be with our nation, be with this show, and may we continue on glorifying you always. All this I pray in thy holy name, amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Today, my idea is doing something a little more complicated. And as you study and work with STEM, you know that these little ideas are wonderful. You'll need copper wire, you'll need a battery, and maybe some little tissue paper to doll up your doll. It's called homopolar motor and tiny dancing motor. And of course, those who might not want to make a little dancing doll could make some type of dancing or moving. You can hear it on my Pinterest there. Dancing figure. You know, nowadays, in my days, we played cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers. Now they play Sonic and Minecraft and those kinds of things. So they could make a Minecraft character that would rotate around. You can go to my Pinterest, and I think I put it in my Steam. Oh, I'm having the hardest time here finding it. But it's in my Steam, and my call numbers are MRGamblin2. MRGamblin2 on my Steam board. Steam stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. Steam. So, you know, just have fun learning. You can connect it to your unit on electricity. Curriculum Corner. So we're just plowing through some online homeschool academies and schools that are available. And the one I'm talking about today is called Enlightium. Enlightium. Enlightium is spelled E-N-L-I-G-H-T-I-U-M. Enlightium Academy. And it is a full K-12 program, but for grades 3 and up, you can also have it transcripted. It's accredited. You always pay more for an accredited program. And they have different levels. So, for example, with the silver premium, you probably wouldn't get as much teacher support. But with the gold support one, you'd get, you know, teacher support. And then with the platinum, you'd get, you know, you could call them anytime, and with the diamond, so forth and so on. You get the idea. Enlightium. These are all online schools accredited, but they also offer just a course here and there if you'd like your child to be, especially upper graders, maybe to have a math tutor or something like that. Questions parents ask. Well, this is a great question. This question comes from Nikita, and she's just seeking some advice. She wants to convert her garage into a homeschool room. She has a family of 5, but she's adopting this summer, and then they will have 4 children under the age of 6 within a very small house. First of all, I hope you like Charlotte Mason and you are doing her idea of lots of hands-on and free play for children of that age. Second of all, yes, convert your garage. You know, I've done this many times, and I've helped family members do it. My husband's so good at it, too. He actually uses, you know, what's that board called? He uses sheetrock and 2x4s, and he builds a wall. But in two instances, they did. They wanted to sell the house, and it was so easy. He just went and cut out around the corners of that wall and took his little sledgehammer and knocked it down, and they had their garage back just like that. So I would definitely go for it. You could build a wall. In fact, you could leave your garage doors up, which we've done twice. And then we could open up the garage doors and still have storage there. And the rest of it was a nice room. It felt cozy and warm. We put some electric heaters in there. You could do whatever you wanted to do as far as heating. You want it to be safe, and you want it to be safe enough that if you had to run into the kitchen for a moment, you could without the place falling apart. So yes, definitely make a homeschool room. It will just bring so much peace to your family. And then we have another question, and this is kind of a question that I grappled with about. It says, how would you teach your daughters about modesty? Her girls are 6 and 3 years old. Well, first of all, kids don't really become modest till they're 10 or so. You know, they still will come down half naked. And the thing that I really wouldn't want you to do is to shame them about that. It's just a natural part of maturation. And so we don't want them to think their bodies are, you know, something that they should be ashamed of. So you have to be careful of how you handle that. It almost seems like you're a little bit overly conscious about that. The best thing you can do is just, you know, be modest yourself and talk about how we want God to take care of us. So my 6 and 3-year-old, I would just let it naturally evolve. And then when they get to be about 7 or 8 and they're starting to go to church with other people and, you know, teach them to keep their dress down or, you know, even if they have shorts on, it's nice if they keep their dress down and that kind of thing, but not make a real big deal about it. I think most of the girls in my family didn't become modest until they were 9 or 10 years old, and then they were so modest, they just went the other way. So it tends to just naturally occur with how they see you treating your body. Here's a question about grading work. Second and fourth grade, a 6 and 8 year old. I'm telling you, the 6 year old is probably getting pushed maybe a little too quickly if they're in second grade, and the 8 year old is being pushed too much if they're in fourth grade. Just because they can do that work doesn't mean they should be in that grade. So you need to watch that. Sometimes we put it as a feather in our cap that our young children are doing that level of work or classified in that grade. But we don't want to cheat them out of their childhood. And so we don't want them to finish high school so early that they're 16 years old and now they're thrust into an adult world. So you always look at with the end in mind. When you're developing your curriculum, you develop it with the end in mind. And you do not want to cheat your child out of anything. So they can be doing that level of work. They can be advanced, but your 6-year-old should be in the first grade and your 8-year-old should be in the third grade or second grade even. You want to give them time to develop and to play in the woods and to enjoy the outdoors and not be doing so much schoolwork that they're getting pressed through. Well, I know that kind of got off track because we were going to talk about grading, but we've ran out of time, so we'll talk about grading next time. I hope you will stay tuned for our show today. We're going to talk about the impact of social media on conflict and how conflicts arise within social media. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Life Talk Radio Network. Let's pause a minute and talk about the coronavirus pandemic. It is so easy to get caught up in all the fast-moving circumstances. Everything is changing. In my lifetime, I have never experienced anything of this magnitude. Yet we read in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
You can hear more from Dr. Rose Gamblin on her daily radio show, Homeschool Companion. For your local listings, go to lifetalk.net or listen live at 11:05 Eastern Time at ltr.streamon.fm.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Michael Gamblin, my favorite executive producer. So we're going to talk about the impact social media has on conflict. And I think we can start on a large format and then bring it down to the individual.
So then how has social media impacted our lives and in the media and every...
Yes, conflict particularly.
Yeah, conflict.
Because unfortunately, as long as we live in this sin-occupied, Satan-occupied world, we're going to have conflict. And social media... Media in general has had a huge impact, beginning in the 20th century with the advent of television. The Vietnam War had been going on for 15 years, but once the majority of Americans had television, that brought that war into their homes, and it really created a populist outcry.
My military career was in the Vietnam time, and I'm here to tell you, though, that a lot of the news that came back was not correct.
Well, this is the thing that we all have to deal with the media, is how do we as an individual know it's true or not? So let's begin with Facebook.
Well, isn't everything on the internet true?
Yeah, right.
You say that tongue-in-cheek type.
Yes.
So you're saying that everything on the internet is not 100% proven and accurate.
Yeah, and I think by the end of this show, everyone will agree with me, I hope. So let's start with something that very familiar. Let's start with email.
Okay.
So email, for me to start my doctoral program, the only requirement I had to have was I had to have an email address. That was the big thing. And now we don't think of email so much as social media, but I hope as this program evolves, you'll see how it still plays a huge role in getting information out. Now, true, the Vietnam War, because of that pressure from the population, ended. It had been going on and lingering on, and it finally did end. But out of that then came this idea that war is not necessarily just fought with tanks and artillery and aircraft, but it's also fought with words. And that's an interesting...
Well, they've always said that the pen was more mightier than the sword.
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
That is what I'm referring to. So let's start with email. Email actually began in Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and they called it mailbox. And then from there, the U.S. Department in 1969, they saw some value in being able to almost instantly communicate. So they created a network. And that network was called Advanced Research Projects Agency Network. And during the 1980s then, this internet service began to allow other common folks to connect. So 1980s is where email really began to take traction.
I know in the business world, I could not get along without email.
Yes, by 1993, email, and it stands for electronic mail. And now it was just exploding. It had like 400 million users.
Wow.
Yes. And, you know, I think of the year 2000, that wasn't that long ago. And by the year 2000, everyone had an email address.
Or multiples. I know I had a couple different emails.
I mean, you had to have, in addition to your phone, you had to have an email address. So now we're to the point where people will think that political campaigns are lost or won in social media. Old-fashioned email is still very important. And I'll cite some things, you know, like who hasn't received, well, maybe you haven't, dear, but I have received emails that look like they're coming directly from Hillary Clinton. And I have emails coming directly from Barack Obama. And I have emails coming directly from Donald Trump. And people who look at my account, my emails account, like if they're looking over my shoulder, like a student might be looking over my shoulder when I'm checking my email, they'll go, wow, you have an email from the President of the United States. But it just goes to show you that email is still crucial. Email is the biggest way that Barack Obama earned money for his campaign. 90% of his money that he earned, you could directly connect it to his email campaigns.
As donations.
Isn't that interesting? We have to talk about Facebook. Because Facebook is one of these things that started almost as a dating site. The Harvard students wanted to know what their other friends looked like and some of their character attributes. And so Mark Zuckerberg, Eduardo Saverin, and Dustin Moskovitz, and Chris Hughes, they got together and they decided to create this Facebook, and they purchased the domain, and they did this in 2004. By 2012, Facebook was the largest social network in the world, with more than 1 billion users using it every day. So anybody who's done anything with Facebook, and I know there's people who prefer Instagram and Snapchat and some of those other things, but Facebook, we all know about Facebook.
I know I resisted it for a while there, but I'm at least on Facebook once a day now.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about Facebook. There's a number of political things that Facebook has been involved in. Not that it set out to be a political tool, and it didn't set out to be used in that way, but it has been. For example, the country of Colombia used Facebook to rally hundreds of thousands of people to protest against the anti-government FARC are the initials. It stands for Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionaries of Colombia. It was a guerrilla rebellion, and they were able to rally using Facebook. And this was considered a third world country. And then Egypt, if you remember back a few years ago when they were protesting against President Hosni Mubarak in the 2011 uprising, they did it through Facebook. Now, recently, Facebook becomes the first company in history to be designated by Russia and China as hostile war target. So if you are...
What is that now? A hostile war target. What does that mean?
Well, it means that Russia looks at Facebook as a war target, something that they will target.
So that's why we get all these viruses and different...
Yes. There are people in Russia and in China that actually target Facebook. They target Facebook in order to craft or change or orchestrate U.S. elections. They put on fake news. I mean, there are companies that are doing just that. In addition to that, both of those countries also hack emails. So it's interesting how Facebook, you know, you have your email usually on Facebook. You have quite a bit of personal information. And if you don't make that private, they find the weak link and they just dig at that weak link.
It's not just those countries. Aren't there some in the States that do the same thing too?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
so we're not just picking on those.
Right. I'm sure that there's other, it's just those countries, by designating Facebook as a hostile war target, can put money for their agents just to work. That's their full-time job.
That's their job. Okay.
And the way that they get in is often through email. They find an email account of a high-up official that isn't protected well.
Oh, and they hack it.
And they hack that email account. Once they get into that email account, then they have information to go into the person's Facebook account. Once they get into the Facebook account, then they start looking for the friends of that person that also might be a soft target in a high government position. And then they, you know, keep working like that. It's pretty fascinating. Well, thank you for listening to this. I hope it's given you a little bit of the idea of what we're facing with technology. In fact, there's an amplification on so many levels with technology. The information is just coming in so quick, and we're able to get it out again quickly. So stay with us next time when we conclude the interview, the impact that social media has on conflicts. And with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.